Okay, let's go ahead and open up with prayer. Lord, I pray you bless this class. I pray you bless each and every soul that comes into this room. I pray that you would put anointing on me, God, that you would guide me, that you would lead me to speak your truth, God, that something I say might help someone, that it would be uplifting to the body, and that it would glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So this pathway is Christ-centered relationships, and this week we are going to be discussing how to keep harmony at home while working for the kingdom of God and some of the challenges that we face while trying to do that. So, and believe me, you will face challenges if you're trying to work for the kingdom of God. It's not a question of if the enemy is going to attack you. It's just a question of when, because as we're going to find out, the kingdom begins at home. So harmony at home, power in the kingdom. How do we keep that balance? So the family is God's first institution. In the Garden of Eden, we're going to go ahead and read this in Genesis. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So that verse right there, let me go back to that. No, it's this one. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So God was instituting the family all the way back in the Garden of Eden. So this whole debate that we have over, you know, can this couple get married? Can this couple get married? Okay, marriage, if marriage were a man-made institution, then I am a fair-minded individual. I would say, hey, if, you know, if marriage were just man-made, then sure, if I can get married, you can get married, whatever, you know, who cares? But marriage is not a man-made institution. We do not own the institution of marriage. God created that back in the book of Genesis. God put Adam in the garden and said it's not good for him to be alone, made a woman for him, put them together, and said, for this cause, he told Adam, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. Why was God telling Adam to leave his mother and father when Adam had no mother and father? Because God was instituting marriage right there in the garden. So marriage does not belong to man. It does not belong to the United States of America or any other country. Marriage is an institute and a covenant created by God all the way back in the garden. And it's one man and one woman. And God said, this is a family. So this is what family is going to be. And so even before God created a church or a synagogue or a temple, God created the family first. The family is God's original kingdom design. It started in a garden, not in a synagogue, not in a temple. The home is the original platform for the kingdom. And when you think about it, what's it going to be like when we get to heaven? Are there going to be churches in heaven? Are there going to be institutions in heaven? No. The only thing that's going to be in heaven is mansions where we live with our families. And I really believe that. And the Bible talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. When I think about heaven, I think about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I think about my family. You know, when the grievers get together, it's a sight. If you ever get invited over to a griever shindig, it's going to get loud. And we sit around the table and we eat and we cut up and we pick on each other. And that's just how our family does. And do what now?
When's the next one?
I know, right? Like it gets wild sometimes. But I love it. That's the my favorite way to spend time with my family. And so when I think about heaven, that's what I think about. I think about all of us together as one big family, and we're all just sitting around enjoying each other. And so that's what God's original kingdom design was the family. The enemy doesn't mind if you're anointed in public as long as you're divided at home. And so just like in heaven, where there will be perfect fellowship, perfect communion. That's what Adam and Eve had in the garden before the fall. They had perfect fellowship and perfect communion with God. And they walked with God in the evening. And that's what God wants. That's what God wants for his kingdom right now. He doesn't want big fancy buildings. He doesn't want big fancy institutions. He doesn't care about all of our programs. He wants us to be a family. And he wants us to be united and to love each other. So he wants us to have perfect fellowship here on earth. So he doesn't, but the enemy likes to divide. God is a God of multiplication. The enemy is all about division. So he likes to put those wedges in there to keep us divided. So in order to advance the kingdom of God, we have to begin with alignment. We have to align ourselves with God's original design and God's original order. And so that brings us to our next point, the order, God's spiritual priority. What is God's priority? So let's read about it in 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Okay, so God's order, God's design for apostolic homes is very simple. He comes first, right? And then we have the husband. He's the spiritual head. He's not a dictator. He's not just the boss. He is the leader. And the husband does need to be the spiritual leader of the home. But he is a Christ-like leader. He is a suffering servant. He's there to serve his family and to lead his family. And I really believe that. I really believe that you must be the priest of the home. So what does the priest do? Well, in the Old Testament, what did the priest do? The priest was the one that offered the sacrifice, right? So the husband is the one constantly sacrificing himself and offering himself to lead his family, to be that protector, that provider. And God knows, I pray. Sometimes I'm in church on Sundays and I look around the sanctuary as service is going on and I see the different families spread across the congregation. And I start praying for the men. I really do. This is a burden I have. I pray for the men in our church and I say, God, please raise up mighty men that will lead their families and be this priesthood in their home. And then we have the wife. That's me. That's all the ladies in here. We're co-laborers. We are the, we're in spiritual submission to our husbands, or at least we should be. But that doesn't mean that we're under his foot. It means that we're walking side by side with him. And where he leads, we follow. And we're on the same page, and we've got the same vision as him. And just like when we have to follow pastor's vision in church, you know, pastor has a vision for the church. And us as a congregation, we're supposed to follow that lead. Well, in the home, the wife is supposed to get on board with the vision of the husband and follow his lead. And that's just the way it is. And then we have children who are growing and learning and observing everything that's going on in the home. And children learn so much, and they're like little sponges. And your worldview is being formed as a child. When you're even just a little baby, like Aniston, you know, you're observing everything around you. You're learning, okay, this is mommy, this is daddy, this is home, this is brother, this is sister, this is what it means to be a family. And that worldview is formed very young. I'd say within the first 3 years of life, where you're learning how to walk and talk and all that. You're also learning what these roles are that we play in life. And your worldview is coming together. And so it's very important that children have that leadership, have that consistency, have that structure that they can grow up in and know what God's design is for a family. I was very blessed to grow up in a nuclear family. You know, I had a mom, had a dad, had brothers, sisters. We weren't a perfect family. Lots of yelling and screaming. I mean, we got loud too, but we loved each other. And so I know that family is so important. And this is God's design. I remember as a younger wife, newly married, learning all of this, learning how to be married, how to be submissive to my husband. But the concept of submission for me was hard to grasp. I was raised in the modern era where women's rights and women's liberation and all this kind of stuff, I was taught all that growing up. But I knew the Bible was true, and I knew submission was important. But my attitude was more along the lines of, well, I'll submit because I know God wants me to, but I sure don't like it. You know, I don't like it, but I'll do it. But my pastor in Georgia, Steve Cole, he taught about submission in such a beautiful way. And it really opened up my eyes. He taught about an umbrella, right? God's the umbrella. He's the shelter. And if we align ourselves, if we get up underneath that protection and get in the alignment that God has laid out for the family, where he has Christ as the head, and then the husband, and then the wife, and then the children, we are under his protection. But as soon as we step out of alignment, as soon as we think we can do things our way and try to figure things out differently than what God designed, then what happens? We're no longer under that protection, and anything can fall on us. So there has to be order. There has to be harmony. There has to be structure. And we all have to play our role. So where there is order, there is harmony, even under pressure. And so how does this fit into the kingdom of God? Where we're not trying to just figure out how to be a family, but we're trying to figure out how to be a family that serves in the kingdom of God. So kingdom service is not just a minister being called into service. It is the entire family being called into that ministry. And the Bible says in Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? And in 1 Timothy, one that ruleth well his own house, this is talking about a bishop in the church. He needs to be one that ruleth well in his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? This is talking about a bishop in the church. And bishop was just, it's the same word as leader, presbyter. It's basically any man in the church that wants to be a leader in the church. He's got to be able to keep his own house in order. So what is ministry? Well, the way Maxwell says it, one of my favorite John Maxwell quotes is that ministry happens when need is met. So we're all in a ministry. We minister in our homes, we minister on our jobs, and we minister in the church. We meet needs every day. I work in a daycare. I'm constantly meeting needs. Diaper needs to be changed, my job. Mess needs to be cleaned up, my job. You know, I'm meeting that need. And so that is a ministry. If you are meeting needs in your family, in the church, you are in a ministry because you are fulfilling that role. You're not just a minister that happens to have a family. You're a family that ministers together. And again, we should be united and not let the enemy come in and divide us. We talked about how God is the God of multiplication. The enemy tries to divide. It's not a question of if the enemy is going to attack your family when you're trying to work in the kingdom of God. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. Yes, the enemy hates your family, and he's going to come in, and he's going to try to divide you, and he's going to try to attack you. So we need to be aware of his tactics. We need to be aware of this spiritual battle that's going on constantly, trying to divide our families. And we need to be willing to fight together, to unite together and fight this. So what are some of the challenges we're going to face? Well, we need to not sacrifice our family on the altar of the calling. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about time management and making family a priority. We need to lead in the home first. Okay, he's got to manage his own household well. So spiritual warfare at home and some of the challenges that we face and how to face them. The Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus wants your family to to do well. He wants you to have a peaceful home. He wants you to love each other. He wants your home to be your safe space where you can just go home and just be together and have harmony and peace. God wants that for you. The enemy does not. So bitterness and division starts when we are at cross purposes, when we're not on the same page. And bitterness is real. I can be 100% transparent about that. I can tell you that there have been times in our marriage where I've not been on board with God's plan for family. And I've allowed bitterness to creep into my heart against my husband or against my children or against whatever circumstance was going on in our family. And it does weaken you. It weakens everything that you try to do. It makes you question everything. Bitterness is like cancer. It gets in there and it gets in there real small, starts out real small. Resentment, you know, why do I have to do this all the time for them? Why can't they do it for themselves? That sort of thing, you know, and it grows, it multiplies. And you have to be aware of that. The only way to fight that is with through intercession, through prayer, through fasting, and through unity, to bringing yourself back into that alignment. There's a lot of pressure in the ministry. There's a lot of pressure to constantly be on call. Believe me, I know this. My husband is here probably 60, 70 hours a week. And I just have to accept the fact that that's just the way it is. And I'm here working in the daycare and I'm here doing things for the church. So I sometimes say, I don't mean to sound bitter. God help me, I don't want to sound bitter. But sometimes I feel like I live here and I just go home to shower and sleep, and that's pretty much it. And sometimes it does feel that way, but it puts a lot of pressure on your time. But let's look at what the book of Hebrews says. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We have to take precaution. Schedules can fracture families. We have to prioritize. We have to make it a priority to have time to just be together at home, to be at peace, to rest. It doesn't happen very often that every once in a blue moon I get a Saturday, might get 3 a year, where I don't have anything else going on. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything. Nothing's on the schedule. And when I get a Saturday like that, I stay in my pajamas all day. I don't do nothing but eat and sleep and rest, and maybe read a book or watch a movie, something like that. But I take that day. Like I said, they don't come often enough, but I do take days where I ain't going nowhere, ain't talking to nobody. Sometimes you have to recover. You have to make that a priority. And when you're working in the kingdom of God, you have to prioritize family time. We have to be loyal to each other. We have to have loyalty within the family. We have, like I said, we have to be on board with the vision. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We have to keep God first. So we don't use truth as a weapon. Like I said, the man is the leader of the home, but he's not a dictator. He's not there just to bless God, it's my way or the highway. You know, he's there to lead, but we have to be on board with that. We have to love our family without compromising the kingdom values. So we have some strategies that we use. Strategies for maintaining that harmony. The biggest one is just prayer. Cover each other with prayer. I pray for my husband every morning. He's one of the first things I pray about when I wake up in the morning. Sometimes while I'm still laying in the bed, I'll reach my hand over and I'll pray God's blessings on him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. I pray for his health. I pray for his mind. I pray for his emotions. I pray for his anything and everything that he might be going through, whatever circumstances he faces that day. Sometimes he's still asleep. He don't even know I'm praying for him, but I say that prayer. And then I cover myself and I cover us as a unit, as a family. I say, God, it's not just him and me laying here. We are one. So cover us as a family. Put us under that anointing and protect us and keep us. So we have to cover each other in prayer and fasting. We have to minister in the home first. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and therefore a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So if we can be united and pray together and cover each other, the enemy can't come against that. He'll try. We minister in the home first. We operate in love and not in legalism. And that's something you have to grow into, believe me. You have to learn how to love each other the right way. When we first got married, we were in love. And I always say it's easy to fall in love. Any two idiots can fall in love. You see that happen all the time. Amen. So falling in love is not the hard part. That's the easy part. The hard part is you got to actually live with that person. You can't just love them. You got to, right. Like you can be head over heels in love and can't stand them. They get on your nerves. So you've got to learn how to live together, and that takes time. I think your testimony, brother and sister, I think y'all's was the best example of that. Like, it's true. You got to learn how to live together. You got to learn how to get along, and that takes time. So it doesn't take legalism, yeah, without killing each other. Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? That's right. So, and without letting that bitterness and that resentment build up. So what is our reward for that? Because there are rewards that happen. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Growing up, you have to grow up together. You have to mature. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So God rewards faithful families, not just the visible ministry, not just, okay, Pastor Griever is the executive pastor of Kingsport Christian Life Center, you know, and that's his role. No, it's not just him. I'm involved in that. I'm his support. I'm his sounding board. I'm his comfort. I'm his peace. And so I'm just as involved in his ministry as he is. But of your greatest legacy, of course, is your children walking in the truth. And I just want to put this in here. Like, I know our ultimate reward is heaven. And we get to heaven, and we've aligned ourselves with God's kingdom, with God's purpose. God wants the garden back. That's all he wants. He wants back in the garden, the way he made it originally. Adam and Eve walking with God and having perfect fellowship. That's what God wants for everyone in the kingdom. He wants us to be together in heaven forever in perfect fellowship. And that is our ultimate reward. But we do have rewards here on earth. We have our children and our grandchildren, and they're such a blessing to us. But the enemy is going to attack you through your children. It's going to happen. And you can do everything the right way. You know, I had Marcus on a Wednesday, and I had him back in church that Sunday. Like, that child's been in church since he's been in my belly. And we never skipped a service unless we were too sick to go. And we raised them in Sunday school. We taught them the Word of God. They did Bible quizzing. They went to Christian Life Academy. We did all the right things. And the enemy still attacked us through our children. And your children will turn their backs on you. They'll walk away from you. They'll get their eyes on the world. And you'll think, what did I do wrong? You know, what happened? And the enemy will play that against your mind, you know. And it's funny because, well, it's not funny. It's heartbreaking. But the enemy will play against your mind. Is like, well, maybe I was too strict. Well, maybe I wasn't strict enough. And I finally got mad one day. And I said, which one was it, devil? Was I not strict enough or was I too strict? You're such a liar. I did everything. Were mistakes made? Yes. Was I a perfect mom? No. But I did everything I knew to do. And I loved my children. And I raised them in church. And then once they became adults, it's between them and God. It's no longer my choice. It's theirs. But no matter how the enemy attacks, God is so good. And he keeps and he protects. And I'm thankful that God uses our children to teach us about the love of God. It wasn't until I had kids that I understood how much God loved me, because I know how much I love my kids. And so we do have that reward here on earth. If we walk faithfully, yes, our children may walk away. Yes, the enemy's going to attack us through our kids. But God is going to keep his hand on them. And they will come back. And mine have come back. I'm so thankful for that. So. Sorry. Don't just build a ministry. Build a legacy. Let your home be a place where anointing isn't rare, but it is normal. Let your home be your first church. That's where church happens first. That's where the kingdom is built first. So let's go over some of our discussion questions. So the first question says, why do you think the enemy focuses so heavily on disrupting the home even more than your public ministry or what's visible to the outside world? Why do you think that is?
It's the foundation.
It's the foundation.
My wife and I used to argue more going to church than the rest of the week.
Yep. Saturday night. It's a perfect time for a fight
Sunday
to start.
Morning.
Yeah.
We were on the way to church.
Yeah. Saturday night's
that's
usually.
When you start.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we're so mad at each other. It's like, just go to bed. We got to be spiritual tomorrow. Hush.
No, we waited until the morning.
Yeah.
You guys got an early start.
Yeah, we got an early start. It's also because home is where your peace is. And he's wanting to destroy that peace. Yep. What are some of the spiritual consequences of a divided home? Even if your outside ministry seems to be successful, what are some of the ways he can divide you at home? He's very tricky.
Well, it damages the children.
It does. It sets a bad example for them when they see you arguing over things that don't matter. Mm-hmm. James and I were always very careful not to have our arguments in front of our children. Like we would say, we'll talk about this when it's just me and you. Didn't always work, but we tried.
I had a woman in a church tell me in front of her kids at a church event, the worst thing she ever did was marry her husband.
Yeah.
She
when
said
you
that
say
in
stuff
front
like
of
that,
her children, and those kids are all so messed up.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, when you put down your spouse in front of others, all you're doing is telling the world how dumb you are. Because the second most important decision you can make in life, the first most important decision is whether or not you're going to follow God. The second most important decision is who are you going to
say that's a dummy.
Yeah. Yeah. The second most important decision is who are you going to spend your life with? And so when you go around tearing down your spouse in front of others, you're just letting everybody know you made the wrong decision and you're a dummy.
You don't
that's
have
right.
peace at home. Your ministry is always going to struggle.
It is. It's going
to
struggle.
Rest.
And it plays on your mind because you think, hey, I'm trying to do this for the kingdom. Why can't we just get along at home? What's going on? You know, the enemy will play with your mind constantly. All right, let's move. How does the biblical order of spiritual authority, where we have God, husband, wife, children, how does that help to foster unity and peace at home? When we align ourselves with the kingdom design,
it's guardrails.
It's the umbrella, like I talked about, you're under that protection. Why is it so easy to get away from that? Why do we always think we know how to figure things out better than God?
Because we're human.
Because we're human. That's exactly right. Like, we always feel like, I always feel like I have to figure things out for God. Like, I'm gonna give God his list and tell him how he can do it. Okay, God, you can do this and this and this. And then I have to stop myself and think, you know, he created the whole universe. He's got stars spinning around there and they're not colliding with each other. And like, he knows how to work everything. Why do I feel like I can tell him how to do something? And it's funny because we feel like we've got to figure it all out. God's already figured it out for us. All we have to do is get in alignment with it. It works every time it's tried. When you align yourself with his order, it works every single time. What are some of the common worldly misunderstandings about the order that God has set in place?
Well, the world says marriage should be 50-50.
Yeah.
It can't be.
No.
Because then it's stagnant. Somebody has to be a leader.
Yeah.
God has set the order of a leader.
That's exactly now, right. You've got to have leadership.
Know, and being in the military, I had a company commander, I would have followed that man anywhere because he put his troops first.
Right.
But I also saw lieutenants, fortunately, always after Vietnam, but in Vietnam, lieutenants got shot the first time they went to battle by their own soldiers because they were incapable of leading. You know, and forgive me, ladies, you know, people think, well, you know, women have to be subservient. The harder burden is being the leader.
Yeah, it is.
Because it all rests and fails on you.
I would not want my husband's responsibilities.
Mm-mm. I mean,
I would not.
The burden of leadership, it carries the weight of the entire family. A good husband carries the weight of the family.
That's exactly right. Like I said, the suffering servant, he's the Christ-like suffering servant. He's the priest of the home. He's the one constantly making the sacrifice to lead. That's exactly right. And like you said, the world has everything backwards. So whatever the Bible says, the world says the opposite. So the man's a leader. I don't need no man to lead me. No, I can do things on my own. How can we clarify that worldly value against the kingdom of God? How can we clarify it in our own minds? What are some of the things that we can do to make up our own minds to follow God's order and not the world? And I think most importantly is just to be aware that there is an order and that we have to align ourselves. And it's not going to feel good to our flesh. We're not going to like it, but we have to make our flesh come into alignment with God's will.
I think for young couples to study.
To study the Word.
And there's some really great books out there that will help you. That kind of narrows down what God says about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to just say, well, study. There's a big Bible to study a lot of.
Right.
But if you're trying to study marriage, you know, I'm sure Brother Griever and Sister Griever have some great books that will help you.
There's some books that have helped us, yeah.
You know, how long were you married?
48 years.
Yeah.
My wife and I have been married 44.
Yeah.
We've had our ups, we've had our downs, you know, and I literally thought after about 30 years it would all smooth out.
No. Marriage
is, just suck it up, buttercup, grab the reins and hold on.
Yeah. I've always said that marriage is like anything else in life, you go through seasons.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to go through the winter before you can get to the spring and the summer. You know, you're going to have that fall where it seems like you're falling away from each other and then you're going through the cold winter. But you just keep holding on as spring comes back around. There are seasons.
I've had younger couples over the years ask me, how do you team stay together that long? I said, real simple. Some years I put up with her and some years
she puts up with me. Yeah, I think it's funny. I can't stay mad at Brother Griever. I try. Lord knows I try to stay mad. I get so mad at him, but then he's always goofy and makes me laugh. And I'm like, stop it. Stop he's making me laugh. Here. I just want to be mad at you. Just. And when I am really mad at him, it's like I want him right there. It's like, you sit right there and you just be quiet and just let me be mad at you. Don't you? You ain't going nowhere. You just sit right there and let me be mad.
See, fortunately, my wife likes going to the other room.
No, I like him right there where I can just glare at him.
I guess I'm more blessed than I thought.
What ways can a family support a member who's actively involved in the ministry, even if they're not all in public leadership roles? What are some ways that we can be supportive in that ministry?
Well, first of all, it's prayer.
Prayer. That's the most important. It always comes back to prayer.
But then also encouragement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Very important. And I really think that in the home, there should be laughter.
Oh, yeah.
Every day. I really do believe that.
Yeah. How can families guard against feeling left behind or neglected?
There's times they just have to take time for them.
Yeah, that's true.
Because... you know, especially if you're in ministry, the demands. And I've been around this couple. When she says they're here 60 hours a week, she's not kidding.
Sometimes more, yeah.
I live with them. I know. Some days I don't even see them.
Yeah.
This church is so blessed because of all this couple does. You know, so there's times You need time.
I just had to get on board with it, basically. I mean, there were times when I resented it, but I had to get on board with it. And I thought, well, if he's going to be at the church, I might as well be there working too. So at least we can be in the same building. And you just get on board. You have, like you said, you have to be in harmony with each other. How should we respond when ministry responsibilities begin to put a strain on family relationships? What should our first response be?
You've got to learn time management.
Yeah, time management, but like I said, covering each other in prayer and being open about it, being transparent about it. There have been times where I've had to go to Bertha Grieber and say, listen, something's got to give.
There's times you have to reevaluate what you're doing. Is it really, are you the only one that can do it? Or are you doing it because you think you have to do it? Or the worst thing is, I'm doing it because I'm the best one to do it.
And nobody's going to do it right. I'm guilty of that. I feel like
really?
I have to. Yeah.
Really?
I don't know how to delegate. I feel like I have to do it all.
She doesn't know the word no.
No, I don't know how to say no.
It's too late. Yeah. It's really easy.
I know. But it's the hardest word to say.
Brother Greenberg, we just realized how tough you have it.
So what are some healthy boundaries or practices that can help restore that balance, that home-life balance? I think that prioritizing time alone is important. You have to schedule it. You cannot wait until a pocket of time opens up. It will never happen because your time is always going to be filled up and used up. You have to make that time. You have to put it on your schedule, put it on your calendar. And that way, when they say, hey, can you do this? Nope. Sorry, I've already got something scheduled there. You have to make that a priority.
When Brother Grieber, not James, my husband, when he was in private accounting, he constantly had appointments.
Constantly. I remember that.
Especially from January to May.
Mm-hmm. Tax season.
So there have been times that I've gone to him and said, could I make an appointment for me and the boys? That kind of thing.
You have to.
Then it would dawn on him. He needed to have some family time.
Yeah. It happens. It's easy to get caught up. What are some practical steps we can take this week to strengthen spiritual unity in our home? What does it always come back to?
Prayer.
Prayer and fasting. I do fast for my family. I fast on a consistent. And again, it's one of those things you have to schedule. You can't just wait until the inspiration hits you to fast, because I promise you, your flesh is not going to let that inspiration hit you. You just have to make it a part of your schedule and fast on a regular schedule. And I don't fast to get what I want from God. I fast to bring myself into alignment with His will. But when I'm fasting, I know that there's a little more power in my prayer when I'm pushing the flesh back. And I ask God for specific things, and I ask Him to bless family, and I ask Him to bless ministries. And you have to make that a priority. Shared devotion time. That's important. Praying together, not just praying for each other, but praying out loud together. That's something that me and Brother Grieber struggled with over the years, because I always felt like prayer is my private time with me and God. And I always felt self-conscious praying in front of other people. And I had to learn how to pray with my husband out loud, where we pray together in unity. And it doesn't come naturally. You have to, got to work on it. But I'm thankful I have a husband who prays. All right. We got done exactly 1 minute early.